Welcome to Free Women's a Nice Guy. I am your host, MNG. And today we have another great show for you. We are at episode 4 of the Black Father Inclusivity Series. Today we have Jeff No Chaser back on the mic to go ahead and give his raw and uncut opinion. And we also have the Chocolate Queen, Anya. She is back to go ahead and give her opinion about these audios that we are here to play. Now, the audio that I have for you today, again, comes from the conference that I had went to earlier today. And we're just going to go ahead and break it down and see about all the things that these people are talking about on this panel and just give our opinions about what they're saying for the most part. So I'm gonna go ahead and play the audio, let y'all get a whiff of that, and then we're gonna go ahead and get into it.
How can we start to advocate for those policy changes so that we can start creating a more supportive society and environment?
Absolutely. DK touched on it. When you talk about policy, you're talking about, you know, the government. And when you talk about the government, you talk about the court systems. And I just tell a quick story. I was up at Mackinac Policy Conference last month, the month before last, whatever it was, and a buddy of mine was talking to a judge up there, and he said, "I'm trying to just get joint custody of my son." And the judge told him, you know, we were all sitting there eating, the judge said, "Well, look, the only way that you can get joint custody of your son is if the mother agrees or she's deemed unfit." Because this policy was designed to take the Black father out of the life. Yes. Because when these policies were designed, these court systems, friends of the court, whatever you want to call it, it was more 80% of the Black fathers were going through this situation and not the white fathers. Yes. So how do we combat that? They designed these policies to take the Black father out, and now we have to advocate for these policies to put the Black father back in. Yes. All right,
so tell me, what are your thoughts when you first hear that audio? You hear that this was designed to take the Black father out of the household. And what does that mean to you? You know, one, Jeff, you being a Black father, and Anya, you know, you're dating a man that has custody of his kids, and, you know, being there and being that primary provider.
I do believe that is the case. I did have a question in regards to the conversation the young man had with the judge. The policy, I don't know each county, each city, and how it works.
Yeah.
I'll be interested in knowing that and what year that they were talking in reference. I know he said last month, but is that a conversation he was having and his friend rehashed it? So that was my concern about the background. But to talk about the policy taking Black fathers out the household, it was built to do just that, because if we are told that you can't get help unless he's out the household, we won't provide you X, Y, and Z unless you put them on child support or get this amount of money. And then you have to pay them to take the money from you. So it's like, how does the Black man get ahead to be able to be all that, the financial provider,
all right,
the stability, the emotions, you know, those kind of things. So I do agree at some point that the policies were made. And then we also have to go into the judges who are residing over these cases, the states that just biased by mothers, and think this old saying that the mother is the nurturer, mm-hmm, and that the child needs to be with the mother, although it's been proven time and time again she's, mm-hmm, unfit, mm-hmm, unequipped. I've actually seen it from my experience working with family law attorneys. I've actually seen mothers who has degrees, or who have some type of education, a trade, refuse to get a job, or can get a job culpable to the degree she holds, that can make, if not more money than a father or equivalent. And they'll tell the father or the man that you must be able to provide that, but then tell the woman that you can stay home. And I don't think that that's fair. But I think, bottom line, they were designed to take the black father out the home.
Okay. Jeff, what is your opinion?
My opinion is, if you look at it, everything is against black fathers.
Oh, that's true. That's facts.
Whatever the white man touch is against black fathers. But not only is the friends of the court against black fathers, but if you look at it, it's against black people, period.
Okay.
Because if you have a black father in the household, you can't get certain things.
Right.
So if the black father's out of the household, they're going to give you everything, right?
Okay.
So the mother is not going to go get a job.
Okay.
But the black father's out of the house, which makes him angry, right?
Right.
So now you're painting a picture of the black man being an angry black man. Okay. Yes, I'm going to be angry. You just kicked me out of my house. I can't be with my kids. So now the government got their foot on the mother neck, because without them, she can't pay her rent.
Mm-hmm.
She can't pay for the food that the kids are getting.
Right.
So it's tearing us completely down. It's almost like modern day slavery.
Oh.
Because now the mother still gotta ask the boss, is this good enough?
Yeah.
The man's gone now. So can I eat now?
Or can I come to the house?
You see what I'm saying? So why the father shouldn't be mad? The white man just told my wife, my girlfriend, my baby mother, if you get that man out of the house, I'll pay for everything. And then we'll put him on child support. So if he come back around, we could throw him in jail.
So now my question, so now I'm leaning towards, and you know, and I have my own personal vendetta mm-hmm. against child support court. And don't get me wrong, you know, it's nothing short of, you know, any kind of just recklessness. Mm-hmm. It's not that. But I am of concern that when it comes to child support court and the child support laws, that they are unfairly administered against the black family.
Most definitely.
Unfairly administered. I mean, you got to think about it. You want to tell a man that, hey, we want you to pay child support, okay? Mm-hmm. If you don't pay the child support, you go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
But now you give me a felony.
Mm-hmm.
Now I really can't pay because I have a felony.
Oh, you have me locked up.
And mm-hmm. I can't get a job.
I lose my license.
Mm-hmm.
I lose my house. Mm-hmm. So now I got to start back from scratch to go ahead and get myself back together, get my house, get my apartment. You know, put my life. Mm-hmm. I'm already $10,000 in debt.
Mm-hmm. Now,
with
now,
interest.
Now we not talking. Now we just talking. That's just on a black man that went to school that had a mother making him go to school. What about the black guy that had to drop out of school and take care of stuff? So he's already behind because he didn't went and got his GED now.
Right.
So he ain't even got no education for real, for real.
Nope.
So now I ain't got no education. I already ain't getting no good jobs. So now you put me on child support. Now I go to jail. Now I got a felony.
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't got no education. So now I just look like the paint that y'all paint and put on the news. Angry black man. Why should not be angry?
That's true.
I do want to speak on to advocating towards policies that I'm curious that the fact that the judge told this man that without looking into the situation or why. Because if we always saying both parents should share 50% of whatever it is, the responsibility, why not joint?
Well, I'm gonna tell you why there isn't a why. Okay. There isn't a why because the same dynamic for them to create this policy is the same exact dynamic that they have now. So let's look at it from two aspects. So the first aspect is that the man is a primary provider. At the end of the day, regardless of the case, he's going to provide. Mm-hmm. They know this. It's just simple fact. Okay. Now, the other half of that is that if we intervene in a way where we can separate households to generate more money for the government, then that's easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that's a criminal charge that comes with a cost stays on the books.
Mm-hmm.
And the state can legally come after you and get it. Now, for taxes, tax evasion, all that stuff like that, mm-hmm. we gonna throw you in prison.
Mm-hmm.
But then, who gonna foot that bill? Society. But with child support, who footing that bill? Nobody. So regardless of the case, you can hit the lottery, you can do whatever you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Still,
the state gonna know mm-hmm. that you still owe that money, and mm-hmm. they banking on you cashing in.
Mm-hmm. Now, question: who makes the rules for the child support? Who makes the laws?
The executive branch, Congress.
So, okay. So they make the laws, they make the rules. Mm-hmm. Now, how many laws are there?
Man.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of laws.
So which tells me that they can change or they can doctor up whichever yeah. law. They could take three laws and put them together just for your certain case. That's what that's telling me.
They can. And the crazy part here is, I'll tell you of a situation that I have went through. And this is probably like one of the craziest things I've ever heard. So when it came to me and my son, after I got custody of him, you know, they wanted to charge her with child support.
Mm-hmm.
They only wanted to charge her $40 a pay. No, $40 bi-weekly. They're like, no matter if it wasn't $40, it was $40 a month is mm-hmm. what they were providing. But they were taking $140 from me because I made more than her. Mm-hmm. But even if she made more than me, I haven't seen a situation where when a woman pays out, the equation is still the same. An equation won't be the same because mm-hmm. in most cases, men make more than the woman.
Well, not in 2023, not in
2023.
but it's still the opposite way. It's still man getting took in more. Well, I've seen certain cases where the man have won and a woman is paying a lot of money. But this woman is making bread. I ain't talking about she working at like, you know, no little spot. She's making six figures.
Okay.
So you're telling me the woman had to be making six figures for her to pay, and a guy could be making $10 an hour and he got to pay his whole check.
It's too, and I always say this because when I worked at the family law, it's sometimes the judge who is over the paperwork, who is putting in. They have a bench book of judges and how they rule.
And how they break
it down for you.
But since we're talking about judges, do you think that the judges that you have seen or may have voted for, you know, if you are in Wayne County, the judges that you have seen and voted for, do you think that there is a equal representation of judges that are on the bench that decides your case?
No.
In the state of Michigan.
No.
In the state of Michigan.
No. Mm-mm. It would never be, because I don't think judges come from where I come from.
No.
And if they have come from where I come from, they have long forgotten.
Okay.
Because if you came from Dexter and Davison and became a lawyer, a judge, then you're trying to forget that about you. because now you're making money.
So they're not trying to be a Judge Mathis.
No, they're not. Because you see, he didn't last too long, right? He ain't last that long. So they saying you can't go back to your neighborhood and give back. You got to keep this money down here where we be at. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So if they did come from, they didn't forgot because they didn't see so many of us from their neighborhood doing wrong to where you get a guy that's doing right, just got caught up in the wrong situation.
Mm-hmm.
We don't care. You just like everybody else down there. How you, well, wasn't you down there too, sir? Oh, you really want to talk crazy now. So if you try to compare their situation with yours, then they get mad because you're bringing up their past that they hate.
So maybe that's what we need in Congress. We need accurate and equal representation from people that have come from the neighborhoods that are in poverty or in dire need for change, to change these policies and to make Jeff looking like
getting to that point though. It's getting there, because when you do have someone that is a representation, how far do they really go before they're outed or there's something
they passed brought some up.
You know, it's just, or a smear campaign, or you know, or they it's always what they say, a plant or something to kind of move the situation in another way, or focus. So I mean, this is a really tough one, just because it's embedded in United States. It's embedded
deeply
mm-hmm. here that it's really hard.
I don't think we're able to see one. I'm gonna tell you why. Yeah, I'm gonna tell you why.
Are you saying in our generation?
Period. I don't think we're able to see one. Because if you become a lawyer, then become a judge, you stop hanging around certain folks.
Okay.
Because now your bills ain't like my bills.
Well,
Your car ain't like my car.
I mean, okay.
Your house ain't like my house no more.
All right. Okay.
So now
I'm following you.
So now you have to start eating, talking, and drinking with people that make the money you make. So who the people that make the money you make? The same old timers that keep the stuff going the way it's going. So you can't, even if you do come down and bring somebody up, hey, he can't come with you. He not making enough money. He don't have the suit that you got.
Okay.
So now guess what you got to do? You're transforming to them. Even though I'm still good, man. I'm still good in the hood. I can go to the hood right now. No, you can't. You're not about to do that. Once you out the hood for 10 years and ain't look back, and you didn't transform to, or you at the gentleman's club, not the gentleman's club, you at the man's club, you know what I'm saying? Everybody up there.
The executive suite.
Yeah, the executive suite, you know what I'm saying? Sitting there drinking that rich scotch, you know what I'm saying? That bottle that costs $600, you know what I'm saying? So, you know how us black folks is.
Yeah.
We get something, and we go try to hold on to it. So if I gotta go down to the hood, oh no, I ain't going back there. You can forget about it.
You know, I had heard something, and it was interesting because I was telling one of my coworkers this, and basically the statement is, your net worth is equal to your network.
Preach.
So, and we have seen it plenty of times where people that go and make all that money, and then they go back to the neighborhood, and what end up happening? Either they end up dead, robbed, just like, and
or you know, back into some bullshit that they ain't supposed to be into.
Exactly. You know, a few people that was making money, a few rappers lost all their money in the pandemic. What did they do? They went right back to the hood.
Start selling drugs.
They couldn't think business like, so they had to go back and start selling drugs.
How can you think business like when you don't have that mentality. When you haven't been schooled the right way to think, well, right. If you lose this, man, you can file chapter this, you can do this, and then come back from this, and you can still have this. They not taught that. They taught, hey, man, if you lose.
Well, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just saying it goes back to creating or advocating for certain policies or bringing things educational wise. I mean, what they have, like, what's that? The kids go to if they are bad. Well, I don't say bad. Children, they go to, what's that, workforce?
Yeah.
Okay. What's it called? Work something.
I know what you're talking about.
School. You know.
I can't remember the name of it. You talking about
when they in school?
Yeah, you know.
Oh, you talking about vocation?
Vocational school, but it's called. I can't remember what it's called. My point is that if we want to change certain dynamics and situations and things like that, if there is a black attorney, a black judge who's, you don't have to be in the city, because credit to Judge Mathis, he has invested in cities, and the people he still have kept in contact with, have them do it, give them jobs, make them opportunities, and then in return, it transitioned to the inner city.
I agree.
Giving an education, giving them a trade and things of that nature. And you find out what you're good at. And so even if we can't get to Congress now, we can start small. But I wouldn't say, and I get what Jeff's saying about, you know, hanging out with like minds and what your pay scale and grade is. But you also got those other people that isn't there but willing to get others there, if that makes any sense. So yeah, you know, with the grants for inner city and creating latchkey programs catered to black youth men and girls and to get them to a certain, you know, place. So yeah,
so I got a question. So since we talk about policies and we talk about changes, right? What changes should be implemented to create effective transparency? So when we talk about transparency, what should I know walking into the courtroom? What should I know walking to the courthouse? Because, yeah, we can go get a lawyer, but a lot of people can't afford a lawyer. Yeah, you can go get free legal aid, but how many people are running to get free legal aid and free legal advice and you trying to have these conversations? Because let me tell you, when I walked into that courtroom, I didn't know too much anything. I didn't know, should I stick to the facts? I didn't know, should I just rely on emotion? What is going to persuade this judge or this referee to be on my side? And when I went in there and it didn't go in my favor, and I'm thinking like, well, you know, she live in a shelter, you know, it should be open, close, shut case. But that ain't the case.
Go ahead, Jeff, you go first.
Man, y'all so polite with each other. You can go first, you know. Excuse me. Go ahead.
What you need to know is, man, what's crazy is you need to know a lot. And we do have the internet, so that helps out a lot.
Not really.
But you have to know what you're looking for.
You have to know what you're looking for, but you have to isolate what you're looking for. Yes. Because the rules are different from state to state. Because there is a rule in one state where if you marry a woman that has a kid from a previous relationship or whatever, and you divorce her, you got to pay child support to her for that kid, even though it's not yours.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
So the rules are different from state to state.
Yeah, it's called change of living. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. But it's hard to say what you need to know, because you do need to know a lot going in, because you can't just go in there, like you say, off raw emotion, because they see acting all day. Some people come in and they think it's raw emotion, but they acting. So the judge be looking at you like, oh yeah, here we go again, another one of these guys. You can't give them facts because you don't have proof of that facts.
Right.
You have facts in your head that you didn't see, but you don't have actual visual proof.
Right.
So now they looking at you like, oh, okay, another just saying whatever you want to say. You need to know a lot going in. It's not just one thing, or it's not just actions that you show. It's so much you need to know walking into that courtroom to be on your P's and Q's, to where they're not going to look at you like, oh, he's just another guy trying to get his child support taken down.
That is true.
You know?
That is true.
Full transparency, I would say, from just my knowledge, and I've actually helped a friend out with this one, you can't go off emotions. Because, like you said, it's facts.
Wait, you said you helped a friend. Was that a man or a woman?
A man.
Oh, okay.
A man. That is part of the reason why I was interested in family law to begin with, is because the proportion, where is it at when men versus women?
Yeah.
And knowing that I have a lot of friends whose emotions can run rapid, and I've always had like a level mind. It's like, he may not have been a good man to you, but he's an excellent father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, and then, but you gotta understand what that woman is, but I digress. When you go in, and back then, before the Zoom thing, I will always tell people, if you know your judge, and typically it's like literally a month out before you have to see this judge, they give you quite a time, go and see how that judge rule.
That's a good idea.
Because sometimes the judge, you come in with your pants sagging and you look like what the imagery is, mm-hmm. you're already judged.
That is true.
A lot of parents act off emotions, but they never say how involved you are in your child's life. So you can say, I love my child, but what about my mother? What about their aunties and uncles on this mm-hmm. side, the best cousins and best friends? Name your child best friends, name your child teachers, name your child doctors, name, because it's showing how involved you are.
That's true.
Sometimes we always see, like, we see these little funny, not memes, but videos of, if someone asks their mom, name your children birthdays and your children are best friends, and the mother can name it like this and the father can't. That would be no different in a judge's eyes. It's like, who is really in tune with their child more? Sometimes they look at it that way. Get involved with the teachers, after school programs, and things that you know your child likes. You know, so those kind of things. Have letters. Coaches write how involved you are. And then do the work. Take parenting class mm-hmm. yourself, because they're not going to mandate. They mandate men more than they mandate women. I think that's bizarre.
Yeah.
Because the men act on, not on emotion, and I can't even say intelligence, but not on emotions as the woman does. And they leave out the child feelings. They think that they belong to them, and it's not the case. So, and when I said help my friend, it was more framing. Instead of using my child, my daughter, my son is our child, I want the best. And state why you want the best. What's important to you and what you know is important to the child that you gather, you know?
You know, I'm glad that you said that, because one of the things that I've always practiced and put into place was making sure that whatever I did was not out of spite. Mm-hmm. And I always did what was in the best interest of my child. Mm-hmm. I never wanted to run back down to child support to try to penalize her for not being in his life mm-hmm. throughout the years that I had him. I didn't want to penalize her for that stuff, because when you do that, and some women, they go out there and they try to penalize a man and stuff like that. But when you go and you do that, one, you create a deep level of regret from the man for even wanting to deal with you, and make it even more impossible for him to deal with you, because now he doesn't have the financial means or the mm-hmm. stability to come and be the parent that he wants to be. So you're taking away his financial stability for years to come. And what happens when you take a black man's financial stability away? You take his wealth away.
Mm-hmm.
When you take his wealth away, who's going to get his man a loan?
Yeah.
Nobody. Who's going to give him a job? He can't go work at a bank where he could possibly move up and be branch manager and make 100K. Mm-hmm. But because banks look at, and financial institutions look at whether or not you're in debt,
mm-hmm.
they won't hire you if they know that you're in debt, in fear that you're going to try to steal money from
exactly.
them.
Exactly.
So now, what are you regulated to working at?
Burger King, McDonald's.
Exactly. Under the table, mm-hmm. where they can charge you, they can pay you whatever.
And it still ain't enough.
And it still ain't enough. Mm-mm. And if we're talking about in today's economy, you're sending people with inflation the way that it is, prices running rapid the way mm-hmm. that it is, jobs weren't going the way that they are. Mm-hmm. You're sitting here sending people to jail over child support that they can't pay, which coming out of a recession, mm-hmm. okay, coming out of the pandemic, man. You know, anything that has destabilized the economy, and you still want to throw people in jail, mm-hmm. you still want to try to get them for this child support money. I still got child support money on the books right now. Mm-hmm. It's about, matter of fact, they don't even tell you when the case starts. Mm-hmm. Before you even go to court, you already start off in debt.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm.
You already started. By the time I got to court, I was at least $1,500 in arrears. Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
And I'm like, wait a minute. I haven't even been to court yet. Mm-hmm. But they're ticking away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're ticking away.
As soon as she file or that file is...
And there's no judgment. Mm-hmm. There's no judgment. And this is kind of the things that I wanted to talk about when it came to this series, is this hidden information that people do not know, especially men, don't know when they walk into that courtroom. When you get that case, you get served. Matter of fact, they don't even serve you.
Nah.
They just see you a letter in the mail telling you you got to come to court.
Yep.
And that's official service. Mm-hmm. But this is actually considered a lawsuit from the state
mm-hmm.
against you mm-hmm. as a civil suit.
Because they want their money.
But they don't have to physically serve you for you to show up to court.
Nope.
And if you don't show up, they can instantly get a judgment.
They do it the last known. That's why they say make sure you keep updating your address. Because, hey, it ain't our fault. We sent it to you 3 times. And if you ain't show, that's not. But it's crazy because they default judgment immediately when it's a man. But they give the mothers
thousand
times to get there.
They adjourn my
case. We'll try to see where she at.
They adjourn my case at least 3 times.
She don't want to come.
Before she even showed up to court. I'm like, bro.
Yeah.
Do y'all see a pattern?
Absolutely.
The pattern is, if we work hard, work overtime, have money.
Don't work overtime and go to the court.
No, they
compute in that too.
Yeah, I know.
Pay.
And don't tell them how much you make.
No, I ain't talking about that. If we go to work hard, do overtime, and not at home as much as with our kids as our wives are, and we get a divorce, we wasn't in our kids' life.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? Since we don't know his best friend name, now we're not as active as the mother is. Since we can't name one teacher or maybe two, we're not that active.
Well,
but if we're not working and we're not doing nothing, we can name that, we're bums. We ain't making enough money. We're not making money. What is the father doing?
Well, I gotta say this though. Marriage is totally different. They treat that different because it's just clear, unless you were unfit or abuser or something like that on the records. But this is baby mom and baby dad and household. That's why what we talking about, policies and advocating, maybe that should be a curriculum about safe practices and not trapping yourself as a black man or a black woman in this whole systematic society.
I think I know where society went wrong at, is when they took sex education out of the schools.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what the problem at, because I had sex education. It didn't do shit for me, but I had sex education. And I was just like, you know, wow, this is, you know, all the diseases that's out there, mm-hmm. you know, how to use a condom and, you know, the mm-hmm. female anatomy. A lot of information.
Wait, let me ask you a question. The sex education, this is my opinion. Did y'all watch a video of all the diseases and what they look like a video and saw images?
Well,
they slapped them in front of you and said,
I went to a DPS school, so we didn't have the video. We just had the rinky dinky book.
No, we had the video. It's in Central. We had the video. Well, yeah, Central. We had the video. They showed us videos. They showed us pictures.
I don't everything. Remember.
Well, he was married when he had his first child. Look at you. Look what the video did.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
No, that wasn't that. I just wasn't crazy out here. I wasn't. No. I ain't,
the video didn't help.
No, it didn't help. My whole thing was, I grew up around uncles that wasn't taking care of their kids.
Oh, wow.
So I said, why am I going to jump on that bandwagon? Right. I'm going to wrap it up. You know what I'm saying? I'm not for that. That wasn't me.
So let me ask y'all this. So what role does DHS play in the family dynamic? Mm. Oh, he looked right at Aya.
Well, it's a good question for both of us because I don't have dealings with the DHS, but I know a lot of,
I'm not going to say anything wrong about DHS, but I will only talk about my experience because I went to DHS seeking help because she wanted to leave the state with my son and didn't care whether I cared about his whereabouts or anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to move to a whole other state to go to school for culinary arts, but don't know nobody in the whole other state. Mm. I don't really think that's a smart move. But, you know, people have left and went to other states and did quite well for themselves. So, you know, I guess it's possible. I just didn't know then, okay? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I wanted to be in my son's life. So it just wasn't going to be effective. But I went to them and I asked them for help. I said, hey, she wants to go ahead and leave. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I really tried to get a criminal case put against her. I tried to get her for welfare fraud because we lived in the same house. Mm-hmm. And she was still getting
the money in another state. Money.
She was still getting
and
the money.
And they didn't give you nothing.
Well, no, we were living in the same apartment.
Okay.
And she was still getting the money. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're not supposed to, if you got the income, you're not supposed to
get that money.
You're not supposed to get that money. Right. But she didn't want to report that we was living together. So I was like, oh, man, I think I can get her on a criminal case. You know.
They shot it down.
They really did. And you know what they did? They took me to court.
What?
Yeah, because I showed them, because I had got a DNA test on my son. Mm-hmm. So I showed them the DNA test. Like, I'm the father, just to let you know and everything. Here's the documentation that showed that she lived here. She was still selling the money from this period to this period. Da-da. He looked at it. Oh, okay. Well, we got the daddy. Go ahead, take him to court. That's exactly what happened.
I will tell you, there was a time I was in school, college, and I needed help because when you're under a certain age, it's like everything is massively expensive.
It is.
And man, I was struggling and I was like, oh, okay, maybe I get some food stamps and live in Ohio. And they basically told me, do you have a kid? And I was like, no, I guess it's just myself. I just need, just give me food. I don't need nothing else. I'm gonna survive. I just need food stamps to, you know, eat. Mm-hmm. You basically, we can't let you get pregnant and have a baby daddy. And I was like, I felt defeated. That really hurt my feelings.
You know, it's amazing how the state want to play daddy to some kids.
Yeah.
Some unfathered kids, but don't want to play daddy to some grown people.
No.
It sound like a black
family. In Ohio.
Family.
Man, you feel me?
It sound like a black family.
It was
like,
terrible.
As soon as your kid get an age, hey, you gotta get the hell up out of here. I can't support you no more. You grown.
You gotta buy your own food.
But as long as you're under 18, you get that food support.
I'm like, listen. So, yeah, yeah, them noodles, ramen noodles was my thing, but
but think about it. You know, how can a government, we're gonna say government. Mm-hmm. How can a government, and I know this is going a little bit off topic, but it kind of ties in. Just play around with me. Mm-hmm. How can a government go and feed, supply, and arm a whole country, but for the individuals that are 18 to 21 living on their own, and that's probably a good half to majority of America that goes to college and everything.
Absolutely.
That have to rely on stipends and everything.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Accrue debt.
Accrue debt in order to survive. Mm-hmm. You can't provide them with maybe $100 a month of food stamps that's already coming out my check.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So
it don't benefit them.
So here's the crazy part. Because essentially, my money goes to the government, right? Some of my money from the government goes to the colleges based on their attendance rates.
And that's what they say.
That's what they say. That's what they say. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Not only that, some of my money goes towards the bridge card. Mm-hmm. Okay. Or the little food stamp card. Okay. Some of my money goes towards Section 8, them little Section 8 vouchers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So why can I dictate, or should there be a better policy in place to dictate who should get these?
Once again, you're trying to make sense out of a government. Okay. Where am I going wrong at? You're talking to thieves in suits.
Okay.
Let's be honest, because I remember a long time ago where they was looking for this money that the schools were supposed to be getting. And my man had marble floors in his crib. He was riding around in nice cars that he can't afford. Oh, that's where the money at. Oh, okay. So now we know where the money at. Go get the money. This dude was doing that probably another 3 years, man.
I know you remember the article that came out for like 2012, somewhere around there, right? Where they have found out and prosecuted the school board for DPS,
mm-hmm,
for taking that money,
yep,
from DPS for 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know what you're talking about. Yes.
For 20 years. How do you get away with embezzlement? You got to be motherfucking good as hell.
Mm-hmm. No, you ain't got to be good. You just got to be giving them their cut. And then they got a little greedy and they said no, so now they won't at all. I don't like the government, man. I don't. Reason why? They tax us so many times from off the same check, bro.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
So when you taxing me, you're taking my money and putting it wherever you want to put it at. That's right. I have no say so.
Majority of it goes towards military, but yeah, definitely.
You're right.
Defense.
So how can you go into a room full of government assistants, I mean, full of government employees, and lay down $100 and say, well, what can y'all do with this? They gonna split it up. Some are gonna go in their pockets. Some are gonna go to the military. I thought we were supposed to be helping home first. They over there sending stuff overseas and stuff. Why are they sending stuff overseas? Because it's going to benefit them in the long run, because now they're going to have allies. Mm-hmm. They're going to have places to stick their bombs and stuff just in case some go off. Oh, surprise. We got bombs over here now. You see what I'm saying?
So I get it.
So it's hard to say, oh yeah, I could trust the government, man. We go get them some money and everything is going to work out just fine. The government have been screwing us from day one. They thieves in suits we have to vote for.
I mean, I get it. I mean, if you look at the stereotypes, if you look at things that are being propaganda, mm-hmm, online and in the media about black people, black families, the whole nine yards. You don't see that same propaganda when it comes to white people. You don't see that same propaganda, mm-hmm, when it comes to Mexicans. You don't see that same propaganda when it comes to Arabics. Mm-hmm. You don't see that same propaganda perpetuated anywhere else, mm-hmm, except for in America. And the fact that these policies is the exact same policies that are meant to not only keep black families apart, but it stops them from standing together.
Mm-hmm.
No, you can't. Even if the man or the woman was to go on to another person, you still fall into the same situation, the same predicament, because the mindset is you don't need a man when you got the government.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
The government, mm-hmm, is gonna take care. I'm gonna put you in this new house.
The government is your sugar daddy.
I'm gonna, you know, you want food? I got your food.
Got you, mm-hmm,
you want your light bill, your gas bill paid?
I got you.
I got your light bill, your gas bill. Mm-hmm. And you can stay at home all you want to. It is the modern day 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
The modern day 1950s. You don't have to work. You ain't got to go to school.
Mm-mm.
You ain't got to get an education. You ain't got to do shit. I'm going to take care of you. better than the physical man in your house gonna take care of you. Mm-hmm.
And when I get tired of it, I'm gonna throw him in jail and I'm gonna set you on the streets.
And have another one. Then no, you have these women with six kids.
Yep. I gotta go find another man.
Four baby daddies and
I gotta go find another man because he locked up.
Let me ask you this. Because these policies in place and based on everything I just said, why won't they just institute, now they said they're going to institute more investigations and allegations into people that's been defrauding the government? Because at some point in time, if you know, I'm about to stop getting so much money, I'm about to go and have another kid. Mm-hmm. And they put a lot of these investigations to see, okay, well, are you having these kids because, you're in a, they oopsies, or are you having these kids because
I don't know if y'all ever seen a news story when that woman had about, more than 50, but she was like at 15 kids, like biologically hers, and she was actually telling them that she was having them to get support and was running out of support or something, and was kind of on the news saying, "Give me my support." No, I don't know if you ever seen that. It was years ago, but wow,
that's crazy.
Yeah, a woman. I was just like, the mentality.
I'm just trying to figure out who kept sticking their dick in there
for real.
It was like, yeah, I'm about to give you some more kids. Like,
but my thing is, it's not gonna change because, like she said, it's almost like the government is like forcing the black families to break up, but at the same time keep their prison system running. Because for the simple fact, if the father is not living in the household, you got sugar daddy government right here taking care of you. Mm-hmm. Now when that kid get of age, okay, well, we done now. Nah, okay, pop out another one. Boop. Now the father is so far in debt already. What is he going to go do? Go sell drugs. He's got to go to the streets now because he can't get a job.
Right.
So now that he's selling drugs, guess what they just seen? Oh, we can get the big guy now because he's on the street selling a little quarter dimes or nickels. Now we can use him because we can do this. Hey, if you let your baby daddy back in, we'll take care of all y'all, but he got to give us information on the guy he getting his drugs from.
Hmm.
It keep the prison system running through, man.
Well, wouldn't be the only thing to keep them. I mean, we talking about people could have minor traffic stops and chunked up charges. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
I mean,
when you talking about the government, man, you talking endless
corruption, deep,
man, it's crazy.
Because if you think about it, they can change the policies like that.
Yes,
with no problem,
right in front of you,
and make it a little bit more equal when it comes to these situations, especially the lies that people go in there with. And I'm not just saying the women go in there with the lies. The men go in there, they go in there and lie about their money. They go in there and lie about how much of a father they're being. Mm-hmm. The whole nine yards. And I really think that there should be a mobile system in place. You know, just a little mobile system that go out there and say, okay, well, let's look at your household. Let's look at the kid household. You know, and do, because social workers used to do those house visits. I don't really believe that, and that's why I say a mobile unit, at least one or two officers or two armed people to go out there with them and survey the situation and see what's going on.
But I don't think it should be two armed officers, because,
well, they ain't gotta be officers, but you know.
Yeah, I don't see that particular situation working out too well.
Okay, well, you know, what if it was a situation that where they go in a house and they got like a pin on, and if they feel like there's danger, they hit the pin and then they come in and bust the door down.
I mean, that's fine. That's cool too. But I can't see officers, because when police arrive,
we're not necessarily like police officers.
Yeah.
But
okay.
Just, you know.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
I mean, I ain't saying rent-a-cops or flashlight cops, but I'm just saying somebody that's armed,
somebody that
can protect them.
Okay,
they don't necessarily have to be police officers,
right?
But somebody that could just protect them so they can do the investigation.
It's hard to do that because you got so many households, bro.
I know.
It probably would take 10 years to get to every household, even if you had 300 people that's willing to do that.
I will say transparency too. When people tell the courts that I brought this, and it can be considered gifts for the child. Mm-hmm. However, toxic situations, I'm noticing that men tend to allow the woman to keep being toxic. And they say, well, the cops will be on their side, but there's ways you can report. And walk into the precinct, and I don't care if they laugh. Document.
Yeah.
Do your due diligence, because mm-hmm. I've seen it when it came down to it in favor. I've seen terrible text message where I'm just like, you are a mother. This is what you text about your child and the conditions. The courts need to don't save. What they say? Save hoes? Let's not save these hoes.
Captain save a hoe.
Let's do that. And it, man.
Put that cape on.
Can't do it. And I've seen men, a lot of men continuously to give, and women, giving these men and women chances. And listen, if they say they're going to do it, I don't care if it's a threat. Don't play. Don't play with that.
But even with man videotaping, you know, there are certain rules and stipulations that come to recording audio, videos, the whole nine yards. Like, they don't make it easy to submit or use that as evidence in court when it comes to a child support case. Like, you can submit emails, you can submit text messages, and they're going to look at it, but they're going to be like, okay.
Well,
I can't verify whether this is the person I was. Well, that's a number right there. Well, I can't verify that this is, that they know what accent they right here.
Right.
Well, I'm not going to do that. You know,
it goes back down to the judge as well.
Okay,
it goes back to the whole system broke. The whole system is fucked up.
Okay, so let me get y'all last opinion on this. Okay, when we talk about these policies and we talk about these governmental changes and what can be changed in the future, when we boil it all down, what can the Black community do to avoid being in the system and being prejudiced against because of it? Was that too deep?
You want to take this one first, Jay?
Was it too deep?
I'm sorry. It was deep. No, I wouldn't say too deep, but it's.
I mean,
because so much dynamic
y'all
to
puzzled.
That.
Yeah.
No, it's a lot of dynamic that specific question.
Break it down for me.
I mean. Again, bringing education and specific things to the community, and starting with, like, I've seen it where if kids can't afford a book or laptops, not only if they're giving, the community is giving the children the books and the laptops, they also giving books and laptops for the parents to do GED programs. Or they giving them good diet routines and the family and the household so they can come together and cook more. There's our programs out there, and it could be more programs, but we need those who are in a certain position. And it doesn't even have to be Congress or some government official. It could be our community of people getting together and saying, hey, I want to build this. I want to give this fruit to the next generation if we can't help it. I mean, that would be my, I don't know if there is a full solution because we're talking about multiple homes, but for starters, I know for me, when we first started me on a podcast and we were talking about Black fathers in the home and what it does, although I didn't have my father there always, I had some kind of community outreach program that I was either into or practicing safe sex, saying no to drugs, just being in those kind of environments that actually stuck with me and helped mold me. And actually, I was able to teach other people and other young people and bring them along. So it's like, if that did that for me, I can't imagine what it'll do to a parent who is trying to, or a father who's trying to go off to college and, you know, do a trade or something of that nature.
Okay. Okay.
If that makes any sense.
Educate, bring education to the neighborhood. Okay.
That's my biggest thing. Bring more education, not just education, because you could bring education and be like, here, there you go. You need more education to where, let's sit down and help him right here.
Financial literacy.
He's stuck here, so we're going to help him. That's what we need. We can't just give him education and be like, okay, do it, because they will be still in the same position.
Right.
We need people that knows the education part of whatever we're talking about, whatever we're doing, to sit us down in a classroom and teach it to us.
Right.
I don't care how old you are, teach this to me. Because if you just give me a book and say, read this, I can read a book, but am I comprehending it? No. I see words. Okay, cool. I need somebody to break it down and say, oh, this is what this means. This is what that means. So I can bring it back to my community and say, hey, this is what this is right here. We need to a better village, because our kids are out here doing stupid stuff and you seeing it, you live next door to me and you walk away like, oh, whatever. Us adults have to deal with our demons before we can say something to somebody else's kids, because we say something to somebody else's kid, the other father or the other mother will come out with her demons and get triggered because somebody said something to my child. Why?
Workshops.
What? Workshops? Or just go ahead and do what every black person is scared of doing. Go to counseling. You got family counseling. Sit and talk. It's easy. But us grown folks is still battling our demons from our parents, our childhood. So we're not going to go talk to nobody that got a piece of paper on the wall. But they go tell me they don't live my life. They don't live your life, but they can kind of guide you somewhere that you ain't been, because you ain't had nobody in your life to tell you what to do. So that's what I think. So from that point, we can start growing.
Right.
And maybe we can get somewhere and stop pulling each other down like crabs in the barrel, bro.
I get it. I ain't unless you want to say something.
Well, my mind was gone when he said about the counseling thing and education and workshop and bringing those things. But when you said that person had a piece of paper, remember we put like people like Judge Mathis and where he came from.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who is that representation? So why can't a person who has that formal degree or the certain level of education look like us sitting here and not flaunting that paper, but flaunting real life, bringing those workshops to the community, just like you went to a seminar and those conversations happen.
Yeah.
Those are the same conversations we need to have in our community. We don't need to travel for the seminar. Bring them to the communities where we see there's a need and there's a struggle, or
right. They
haven't been given the tools and certain things to help, you know.
I agree. I agree with what both of y'all are saying. So my last opinion on this, we definitely need to teach the next generation. That's where it all begins. Generational wealth. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's called generational wealth for a reason. We create this wealth today in order for it to pass on through the next generations. It's like an ice cube. If you roll that ice cube across the table, it's gonna melt and it's gonna leave a trail of water behind, but you still got a thick ice cube going a long way.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we got to teach the next generation. We can no longer fall subject to name brand, fashion, We can no longer fall subject to being only part of entertainment. We can no longer fall subject to being the derogatory statements or the derogatory exclamation point for everybody in society. We can no longer be the butt of every comedic joke that is out there. We can no longer be the example of success in music. Acting, but you're gonna only act if you're ratchet. You know, you can't have a decent black movie and expect it to be number one. But you can be ratchet and hood all day long and you're gonna get a number one movie. You know, you show the real life of the hood and then they all of a sudden think, oh, that's not a movie. That's real life. Yeah. Like they're talking real life. And then when we get on to the interview panel and start talking about the movie and start talking about the music, yeah, I'm just rapping my life about where I came from. And, you know, it's a struggle out there. And we project those negative images out there. And then we start to believe, the next generation believes that, well, mm-hmm. I have to perpetuate this negative image in order so I can become successful. Mm-hmm. I have to sit here and sell drugs so I can rap about selling drugs because I can have that real life experience so it can go along with my authenticity mm-hmm. when I go ahead and put it in this music. It makes no sense because we're not talking about, Jay-Z is not talking about, hey, let's go ahead and build a bill. He didn't start talking about that until what, 11 albums later? Mm-hmm. You know, 50 Cent didn't talk about that until what, like three, four albums later? Mm-hmm. It was still Shoot 'Em Up, Bang Bang, and everything. P. Diddy ain't never talked about it because he always had fucking money. mm-hmm. Okay? Rick Ross talked about it. But now he don't talk about it. But nobody is trying to give the blueprint to be successful starting a business and being successful. It's always, just like Jay-Z said, well, I gave you the blueprint, it's on the album. But you sold drugs to get there, my guy. Mm-hmm. What you think they're hearing first? the drug selling. Or, oh, 50 Cent got shot 9 times. Mm-hmm. Well, I can't get shot 9, but damn it, if I get shot 5, mm-hmm. you know, I could be comatose in the same boat. Mm. You know, I can tell jokes too. So, you know, let me go ahead and tell jokes like Chris Rock stuff and Kevin Hart and everything. You wanna go that route, but Look at what they had to talk about in order to get there. They had to talk about the stereotypes. They had to talk about being, the hard times of being a black person mm-hmm. in a neighborhood to get there. You're not going to be Mos Def. Mm-mm. He's talk positive. Mm-hmm. You know, and from that positivity, he create positive albums. Mm-hmm. Common had good music. And then Common hooked up with Kanye and had a number one album. After how many albums? Mm-hmm. After how many? It wasn't the beats. It wasn't what he was saying. It was the same shit he was saying just on Kanye beat. But because Kanye's so controversial, mm-hmm. it shot his shit straight up to number fucking one. Mm-hmm. So we have to tell the next generation that no, you don't have to perpetuate the stereotypes or the negativity to be successful. I mean, you see the successful black people, but do you get to talk to them? Mm-mm. You want to know why you don't get to talk to them? Because they always trying to sell you the game. Mm-hmm. They always hosting some seminar to sell you something. Mm-hmm. You can't just go free Mm-mm. and learn. No, I got a book for you. Why don't you go ahead and buy this book? Well, I want to buy the book. Well, how you gonna be successful? Well, let me be you'll be my mentor and I'll be your mentee. Can we do that? Well, no, I don't have time to do that. You know, mm-hmm. I gotta charge you for my time because my time is money. Mm-hmm. And if you're not talking money, then I can't help you. But yeah, we came from the same struggles and from the same neighborhood, from around the same block. But you don't want to help the same brother from around the block to get to where you was at unless I pay you to get there. Mm-hmm. I seen a little Instagram ad with Master P and this other young guy. You know, saying like, hey, we gonna show y'all how to, you know, start this business up under $1,000. I was like, all right, you know, cool. He's like, ain't we doing it for free? I said, bet, that's what's up. Let me go ahead. Try to go ahead and log in. It said, check out. Mm-hmm. Credit card information. Wait, y'all just said it was free. Mm-hmm. Y'all not giving the game away for free? Mm-hmm. Y'all trying to charge me mm-hmm. for this information.
The last line of it's free.
And the crazy part is that we so quick to go to a white person to pay them for the same information that we can get from a black person, but the black person want to charge us 2 times more.
Mm-hmm.
They want to charge us 2 times more. They don't want to give us the same. They're like, oh, well, I had to work hard to get here. You did have to work hard to get here. So pay it forward so the next generation don't have to work that hard to get there. Provide that generational wealth. Provide that help, that stimulus to get us out of here. We don't need the stimulus check. We need to stimulate our minds so we can get out of the same situation. We don't need to be in a rat hole anymore. We don't need to be in a rat trap anymore. We don't need to be circumventing the same shit over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I'm done. I know y'all looking at me like MNG, shut the fuck up. You're doing too much. You're going overboard again. I hear like she got something to say.
No, you said everything. You guys said it all. I mean, I'm with all of that. And then to add to it, it's like, we want to bring those things to the community, but I just thought about my experience and, like you said, having an idea and then people not really understanding the vision and what it brings.
Right.
So they don't see, they want something tangible right now, not for later to come. And sometimes that could be the unfortunate aspect of it.
I agree. Well, this is Fair with Mr. Nice Guy. I am your host, MNG. And I want to thank the lovely Chocolate Queen, Anya. And Jeff, No Chaser, Raw Cut, don't like the government. Don't ever forget that he don't like the government. Facts. Don't even bring that shit his way. Follow us on TikTok, Fairway MNG. Make sure you go ahead and drop us a, or send us a voice message over on Spotify. Make sure you go ahead and hit that notification so you can get all the latest episodes. New episodes drop every Monday, so don't forget it. We'll see y'all in the next recording. Peace.
Thanks for joining us on this unfiltered journey with Fair Woman to Nice Guy. We hope today's conversation brought you fresh insights and a renewed embrace of authenticity. To keep the canon vibes flowing, hit the subscribe button for more thought-provoking episodes and share the podcast with your friends. As we wrap up, keep embracing your true self, navigating life's twists and making connections truly count. Until next time, remember that your journey to authenticity and growth is one to cherish.